Hello, beloved. Welcome. It is Home Group Night. It is Wednesday right here in Fort Worth. I'm Greg Stevens, and we are live. Tonight, I know we kind of teased you last week about what the program was going to be, but sometimes you just have to flow. And so we are flowing, listening to the Spirit of the Lord, and we're going to push that program back. And tonight, because of this weekend, something very special is happening at Eagle Mountain Church, Eagle Mountain International Church. We have Miracles on the Mountain. And I have a couple of friends with me tonight, that two guys that I love dearly. David Ellis, welcome. I have been wanting to get you on here for so long.
You should have asked.
I did. And here you are. Ask and you shall receive.
You're right. Exactly.
Normally we see you playing the piano, but this man is a preacher and a pastor.
Oh, thank you.
Because I knew your church in Marietta, California. I was down in San Diego, and I'm so honored that you're here. And then my friend Gene Bailey.
Yep, thank you.
As well, host of Revival Radio, seen only right here.
That's right.
On the Victory Channel. Victory Channel. Listen, we want you to be part of this as well. I have the iPad in my hand. Those of you on Facebook, you can type in your question or comments. It's right there on the bottom of the screen. If you want to email it in, askhomegroup@govictory.com. If you want to text a question or comment in, it's 682-302-1301. But first, before we get into tonight, we've been doing the weight loss challenge here at the ministry.
Here we go.
150 people.
Yeah.
We started the year off with nutrition program, and everybody picked on me that I was fluffy and chubby and stuff. So I entered the weight loss challenge.
Yeah.
And David, every week they video me getting on the scale.
Do we have evidence?
No pressure.
No pressure, right? And so today was weigh-in number two. I lost 7 pounds the first week. Well, instead of me telling you, just watch what happened this morning. Hello, beloved. Here we are. It is week two of the weight loss challenge. How many people are involved in this?
150.
There's 150 employees of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain Church. And now week one, Laurie, do you mind coming in with me? Week one, everybody, you were part of that original program.
Yes.
Week one, everybody lost weight.
Everybody lost
And so
weight.
This is week two. What should I expect?
I think you should expect a loss because you said last week you weren't exercising.
And I did go to the gym. I rode the little bicycle. So now what did I start at?
You started at 223.
I was at 223 and last week was?
215.
Shoes off, because I do the shoes off every time. Jacket off. Here is the moment of truth. Are you ready? This is the same scale, right?
Yes, it is.
You didn't bring in a ringer scale that makes me heavier. Okay. Just check. All right, here we go. Here we go. Okay. Is that right?
That's correct.
I went up.
How was your eating?
I ate the same.
Okay.
And I went to the gym. So how did I go up? What, about a pound?
Mm-hmm. How was your sleep?
I don't know.
How was your stress?
Stress has been very high.
So sometimes those emotional things can cause our body to be thrown into a little bit of weight retention. So find a quiet place, find the place of intimacy, go to the secret place, and get rid of that stress so you can sleep better. And I bet we'll see a great result next week.
So there you go. I went up. But now I know why. We'll follow the progress next week. Well, there you go. Nothing like thank you, production crew, for putting my weight on the bottom of the screen. But
just in case we missed it when you said it.
I went up, and I learned something, though. And that I believe that'll be a blessing to some of you. If you reduce the stress in your life.
Yeah, and get more sleep.
More sleep. Your body will cooperate with you. My body was fighting me, even though I was doing more. So I learned something. And do you know, the cool thing about Laurie is she was on the program, The Biggest Loser. She was one of the trainers.
Oh, wow.
And she's helping us. We're calling it The Biggest Winner because we're not losers. And so anyway, we'll see what happens next week. She said, find a quiet place.
Good luck with
I'm
that.
I'm coming to your house.
Yeah, come on.
It's quiet over there. All right. So I told you how that you can be part of it. Listen, we are going to discuss something because of this week. Tonight, we're discussing a requested subject, so I want you to call your friends and want you to stay tuned with us. Tonight, we're discussing miracles, healing, and revival. So what constitutes a miracle? How's that different from healing? Is there a formula for receiving from God? Have you ever seen any miracles? And what about all the great healing revivals of the past? Is God still healing people today? And why do some people get healed and not others? And why, what kind of environment has to happen? So we're going to discuss this and all more on Home Group. You guys have been part of this signs, wonders, and miracles for a long time.
Yeah.
He's right. Much older than me, so yeah. He's,
not by much.
So in the past, you worked for with Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both did, actually. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was before him.
And during, you came back around.
Yeah, that's right.
So we did stuff together.
Yeah.
So what about this? People want to know, is it still for today?
Yes.
So why do some people get healed and some don't?
I don't know. Anybody that
it's
gives...
It's been a great program. Thank you for joining us tonight.
No, well, look, you know, that's I can't answer that. Because, and anybody that tries to give you a pat answer for that is absolutely wrong. You don't know what's going on in their life. Is there unforgiveness going on? Is there stuff? Is God working? I mean, you just can't wrap that up in a nice, neat little package.
So is there a commonality?
What do you think?
Well, when you said that, you know, unforgiveness, I don't know. I just thought Brother Hagin said, if I'm not getting an answer to my prayer, the first place I look at is, am I holding bitterness? Is there any unforgiveness in my life? I don't know if that's the answer for everybody.
Right.
But when you said that, that's what I thought.
Well, we know if Jesus went to the cross and paid the ultimate price,
right,
and we have a new covenant.
That's it.
Come on now. So we got a new covenant of health and healing, and we remember that every time we take communion. I'm thinking it's not him. He's not the problem. So if he paid the ultimate price.
So it hasn't gone away. It just dawned on me when you said that. It's impossible for it to go away because it's part of a covenant.
It's part of a covenant.
He'd have to revoke the covenant.
He went to the cross to die for your sins, Greg, before you were born.
That's right.
Well, the easiest way for me to understand it is not everyone is going to get saved even when there's an altar call, but everyone could.
Yeah.
Not everyone is going to get healed, but everyone could get healed. They can, and they could, and they should. Mm. If I preach a salvation message, it's available to everybody. Now, I don't have a guarantee. I can't make them receive it. I can just preach the message, and they can, by faith, receive it. Mm. Everyone can get saved. I hope everyone does get saved. But does everyone automatically get saved? No. You know, they have to.
And then there's the people that get healed after. Right. There's a progressive.
Well, this happened with Jesus, too, didn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. As they went.
As they went, they were healed. Mm.
Which is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Because I heard Brother Copeland.
How long have you been with Brother Copeland?
Oh, my gosh, 25 years.
You've seen a few things.
Seen a few, a lot of
miracles
things.
Miracles and
yeah.
Healings.
And when he just said that, as they went, they were healed. I believe this with all my heart because of Brother Copeland's ministry, the authority of it, the strength of it, you know, the level of, well, the prophet's office and the teaching revelation that he walks in. I believe that when he preaches the message, many go.
Right.
And that reverberates in their heart, and the actual revelation of what he said in the meeting maybe hits them later. I think there's actually more manifestation
after
our meetings
than
during, because of the type of meeting that it is. But I believe revelation even comes if they just hold on to it. I think there's a lot of people healed after our meetings are over. That's a good question.
Well, we had a guy last year at Miracles on the Mountain was mad because he didn't get healed, went to... on his way home, stopped at the gas station, stomped off, met and realized he went all the way in, paid for his gas, came back to the truck and realized, wait a minute, I'm not walking with my cane. You know, he got
really?
Healed. He got healed after and didn't even know it, didn't even realize it, and then realized, wait a minute, I haven't had that problem. Yeah. You know, we can't, and this is where healing, I don't want to say healing gets a bad name, but in America especially, we try to put things in a box. We want it to all fit nice and neat, and it just doesn't always happen. We don't know what is going on in the hearts of those people. We know there are things, and that's my whole point, is I know that it's not Jesus. He didn't do a problem. God didn't, he didn't change his mind. So it must be on this side, somewhere on this side.
Well, Gene, think about, and here, we've seen this more recently, after Brother Copeland preaches the message. And I love when he cocks his arm back, and he acts like he's throwing a spiral, what he said, I'm looking for a receiver.
Yep.
I'm looking, and he walks from one end of the stage to the other. And actually, he's got good motion. But it's the same thing. I mean, Faith comes every single time.
That's right.
Because
it's like the wet with the water. It comes every time. And so I know when Brother Copeland preaches, there's faith there because he's preaching the word. But when he does that, I love that illustration. He's just looking for a receiver. Yep. I think it's the same way with God. It's there. Take it. Catch it. It's available.
And that becomes leads right into your point of contact. Yeah. I have a point of contact that I said, and this is what Oral Roberts, you know, the revelation. He's the one that had the revelation of the point of contact. It's like, I receive it, you know.
Can I ask you this? Because
yeah, it's our show. Anyway,
it's our show. Sorry, mm-hmm. We'll be back with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like when we were in Benny Hinn's meetings, there is something, though, about the corporate anointing.
Oh, absolutely.
That is in manifestation.
Absolutely.
In that environment that, now I'm going to pose the question, does that make it easier for the person to receive?
Yes.
When they get in that corporate anointing,
absolutely.
Corporate environment.
This is what's called an atmosphere for healing.
Tell me about the atmosphere, because you're a worship leader. You're a psalmist.
Yeah. Let me tell this.
Okay, go ahead. Right. So this is home group. We just jump over each other.
Right, good.
But here's the thing. One of my favorite Pastor Benny stories was I wasn't even working for him. I was freelance, running camera, and I flew in to the Cow Palace.
I've stayed at the Cow Palace.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so I went exactly to shoot this, about. And I was no more thinking a spiritual thought than a man in the moon. You know, I just walked in, and I walked into the arena. Now, this is hours, Greg, before the event. This is the morning of. Pastor Benny's not even in the state. Okay? And I walked in, and the hair stood on the back of my neck. And I'm like, what is going on here? Yeah. And I walked in the room, and I'm like, whoa, this is a holy place. And, you know, and I started seeing people were getting healed, and Benny wasn't even in the state yet, but there was a core ready. People had been praying, worshiping on their own.
Is it their expectation?
That's the word I'm sitting on right now. Expectation.
Absolutely.
That's what
it's faith.
And so tomorrow night and the next morning,
right.
Pastor George and Terry are preaching and Billy Burke is here at Eagle Mountain Church. You can watch it how you're watching us right now. They need to be expecting right now.
Absolutely. And you don't have to wait till tomorrow night to get healed.
Okay.
You don't have to wait.
Well, you don't have to wait to get saved. You don't have to wait to get healed.
Right.
However, now I'm a little more old-line Pentecostal. When I see an opportunity, a meeting set aside that's been labeled, made available, branded. You just know it's there.
Absolutely.
This is a miracle meeting, and there's going to be people, and everything is geared in that direction. Then my expectation is automatically going in that direction.
Yeah,
so just take a few words, a little bit of faith, hook it up.
You guys grew up, I know you're Pentecost, I grew up Pentecost.
Right.
You grew up in this thing. So tell me about your background and how... What you've seen and stuff.
Well, you're the elder. Go.
What is it? This is a tough room.
I'm telling you.
I'm just deferring my brother.
Yeah, okay. I grew up, you know, when you're in the South, I'm from Georgia, everybody's Southern Baptist. It doesn't matter what you believe. You just say you're Southern Baptist.
And the first question you get asked in the South is, what church you go to? Yeah, they want to figure out
what First Baptist, Second Baptist, you know, which Baptist church you're going to. Yeah. But, I mean, then we went to Christian Missionary Alliance. I probably shouldn't say that, but I did. We went to a church, and we got thrown out because we believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we kind of got... tossed out. Now, I know that's not what the CMA believes, but just what happened at that church.
That particular place.
So, you know, I kind of had that, but we were going to camp meetings, and I'm talking about, if you're from Georgia, you know where Indian Springs Holiness Campground is, and it's like going back in time. And as a kid, I was scared.
Did that spark the revival radio thing in you?
I don't know. Maybe it did, but I remember going to meetings and going, oh, dear Jesus, get me out of here. I don't want to see anybody I know. I wasn't Church of God boy like David here, but I mean, I was around that. And then we're in the periphery of whatever was happening. I mean, I saw moves of God as a kid and saw people getting healed. I saw, you know, miracles with Benny and others that we've been through and with. And
yeah.
Brother Copeland and seeing people get healed. I mean, it's the real Billy Burke. I mean, we've seen that right before our eyes. So There's no doubt God heals and God
your
wants
background.
You well.
But before I say anything about the background, even when you talk about the background, I mean, you talk about the campground in Georgia.
Yeah.
For me, the bulk of my dad's ministry was in Florida. Our campground was in a place called Waimama, Florida.
I know, Waimama, yeah.
Waimama, and you get there and that's exactly
what's
the
it called?
Waimama.
Waimama?
I'm telling you, that's not
that's
a made-up name. That's the name
that's
of the
it.
Little city.
Waimama.
It's right outside
not
of Tampa.
Your mama, but Waimama.
No, okay, Waimama,
sorry.
And that's what you ask after you get there. What are we doing here?
Waimama, why Waimama. Are we here?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Because I got sitting at a camp there.
Oh, yeah.
Youth camp was always before the camp meeting. You know, want to make sure you're saved before the mother load hits.
Right.
And so you're ready for it and all
but
that.
But then the mark of a real camp meeting, if it doesn't have shavings on the floor, it's not a real camp meeting.
Oh. Shavings on
that's the way it used to be. It's
okay.
Got to be cedar shavings. Now, you know why it's cedar shavings?
No,
I bet you don't know.
Saw
this. This is the mark of a true camp meeting guy. The cedar shavings are to keep the bugs out.
I did not know that. But
because they don't like
no,
cedar.
No, the yellow light bulbs.
And the yellow light bulbs.
Did you guys have yellow light bulbs?
That was, you're getting too progressive now.
You're a little too modern.
Anyway. All right, sorry, that's off topic. Go ahead.
Well, no, I can talk about camp meetings. I can talk about old moves of God.
What's the first thing you remember that
meetings in Waimama, Florida?
That grabbed you and you looked at
that. The meetings, the camp meetings, which was a statewide meeting for the Church of God. It was our state annual camp meeting. They would gear that meeting on purpose toward, you might call it revival, a move of God, the presence of God, the power of God. Yeah, they're going to preach. Basically, they had a Bible teacher in the morning. And they brought in more of a, like a T.L. Lowry at night, just someone that was at a higher level in their authority, the way they always preached.
A preacher.
And they're phenomenal preachers. But the first thing, you know, that I remember, you know, that hit me was, of course, the music and the strength of it. And then, but just the tangible presence of God.
Tangible
but I will say this. When I went to the first Catherine Kuhlman meeting in 1971, I was 10 years old. Now that the weight of the presence of God and the glory of God was at a different level. It was not near as loud or demonstrative outwardly, but just as a 10-year-old boy, I knew there was something
about this.
Different
Something's
about
going on.
This. Yeah. But honestly, Greg, and I know what's taking place here, this week with Billy Burke. That first meeting, how many years ago was that? The first
five,
meeting. 3 years or 4 years
ago? Is it four, three or four time. Years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
That meeting.
2017, that's when it was.
Well, I don't remember the exact. Was that when the, remember the concert pianist came that was near dead?
That's before my time.
No, he came
before that on a Wednesday night.
I'm just talking about the week long. Meeting, the first one that I was in with him, where I was going with that was, you know, even the things that I saw in that meeting were equal to or exceeded the stuff, not that I've heard my grandparents talk about, because that's
now,
a
I heard so,
whole
yeah, that's,
another level.
Yes.
But the things I tangibly saw as a kid, well, there was every bit of that in the first meeting that I saw here with Billy Burke.
See, as a kid, my grandfather got saved at a Brush Arbor. He and his brothers went to throw rocks and stuff at
That was my great-granddad, Brush Arbor.
And got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, immediately his life changed. And then he became the pastor of First Pentecostal Holiness Church, Enid, Oklahoma. And Oral Roberts set up a tent meeting. And he hosted it. I'll work with you on this. And my grandfather tells me about stuff like people dancing off the stage in midair. And,
yeah.
You know, stuff. I'm like, what? And so I heard these stories.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I remember a camp meeting. It was kind of an outdoor thing on the sides. And we sat on a quilt, you know, as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I remember this guy, there were these slat pews with wood slats here and wood slats there. And then they had chairs sitting around. David, he had his eyes closed and he ran on the tops of those wood slat pews with his eyes closed shouting. And he's running and he's hitting the tops of them. And I never forget seeing that going, well, that's different. I was a little kid. And so that began it. And then later on, years later, My dad came out of Pentecostal Holiness because we went to a meeting that lasted, I don't remember how many weeks. It was all summer long, Gene. And it was a guy by the name of Jerry B. Walker.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw things Billy Burke tonight or tomorrow night that I'd never seen before as a kid. And it made an impact on me, you know, and you begin to see things. So you brought up Joan Green.
Right.
From that meeting. We have a clip of it. Joan was a concert piano player, and she hadn't played in years. And she started receiving her healing while she was watching us on television that night. I'll never forget it. I went out and met her at the parking lot. She had a stroke and a Hashimoto's disease, which led to several other symptoms and failures. And she was healed in it. And we want to show it to you. Watch this.
Where's she at? You got healed online? Watching online? What do you mean you got healed online?
I got healed online.
From what?
I had a stroke. I used to be a professional pianist and used to play in healing meetings like this.
Okay. And you were watching online from where?
Sir, from Farmers Branch in Dallas, Texas, which is about 45 minutes to an hour away.
Okay.
And I asked the angels to get us here. I said, "Husband, we have to go. My husband, Breck,
right,
we have
here's your to husband? Go. Okay, so you...
And then on the way, you called for shingles? Yeah. My husband has shingles.
Okay, but I'm talking about you.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Me.
Talk to me, what happened?
I could start feeling my fingers again. They're starting to work. Like this. All over the place.
Come on. Your name is... Your name.
Your name is higher than any other.
Can she stand? Can she stand?
Your name is Jesus. I call you Lord.
So this vibrating, this shaking, tell me what this is, these tremors. What caused this?
Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Hashimoto.
And it's she has over 80 illnesses and
over 80
thyroid
illnesses that caused by what?
Bad thyroid.
A bad thyroid. Mm-hmm. That's your body temperature. That's connected to your thymus gland, correct? Your thymus.
And I almost died last week.
Yeah.
And I died three more times this week because my blood pressure won't stay high enough.
No, you came all this way.
I came all this way. I can feel my toes.
You can feel your toes.
Come on! What's the matter with this group? What's the matter? Come on! Move the chair. Go. Get her up. Just walk. Oh my God. Thank you.
Well, there you go. That was a real miracle. A couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'll never forget it.
That night. Yeah, so I brought her in from the truck.
See, I didn't know that part. I didn't know she was carried in. I never knew
that. We picked her up, David.
I never knew that.
She was like this. We picked her up and put her in the chair and rolled her in. And she started, David, he even said, she's getting steady. She started loosening up as she got in. And I think that's what you were talking about a while ago. That environment.
Mm-hmm. Being an
atmosphere of that. So listen, we want your questions on this. This is an open discussion. We want you to be part of it. You can text them to us at 682-302-1301. Boy, you say that fast. 682-302-1301. You can email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. Those of you watching us on Facebook, just type it in right now. The moderators have it. They'll get it right to us, and I'm getting many of them, and we're going to get to them in just a second. So that's one style. That's one way you see Billy Burke there.
Yeah.
But I want to go ahead and play you guys another clip because it's not a formula, is it?
No.
No. No, because you, when you said while we were watching that, you said somebody wrote in and said, does God heal you because you have faith? Anytime you ask me something, because I've been with Brother Copeland so long, sometimes I literally hear a part of his sermon or I hear his voice and I still hear him saying, does God heal you because you have faith? And he waits and baits him for a little while and goes, no, he heals you because he loves you.
That's right.
Wow.
He heals you.
So that, that has to do that. Hazel, there's your question.
Well, of course your faith has something to do with it, but that's not the reason. Why, if I'm hearing him correctly, and if I misinterpret it, well, then blame me that. But I know every time he says that, when he magnifies the love of God instead of the faith in of the individual, actually, that increases my faith when I magnify the love of God instead of putting a microscope on my faith. Mm-hmm. If you magnify love, faith is a response.
Because faith works by.
Works by love.
Yeah. So, when people see stuff like this, that does that increase the faith of other people?
Of course it does.
Yeah, of course it does. My granddad had one, great-granddad had one miracle, which I'm not going to take the time because this program is not long enough. 17 brand new churches came out of a miracle that happened
one night. 17 state brand of Alabama. New churches.
Yep. Yep.
Came out of one meeting.
One night, one meeting, one miracle.
Sounds like a revival radio program. Go ahead.
I need that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, tell
no, you
got to
tell it. No, what happened? You can't leave us with that.
Okay. Well, here's it's my great granddad.
Okay.
You might have his book. I don't know if you do not, because they used it at Rhema. Doc Horton taught out of my great granddad's.
What's it called?
Blazing the Gospel Trail.
Yes.
James Benton Ellis.
Yes.
David Horton's dad, Doc Horton, used my.
I had that class.
All right. This story's in there. I don't know where he got to it, but when I say granddad, I'm actually talking great-granddad.
Yeah, sure.
But, he was in the northern part of Alabama. In those days, he didn't have a tent. It was a Brush Arbor meeting. Mm. And in that particular city, and at that time, actually, the city was trying to run him out. The police chief was trying to run him out. He got arrested and taken to court for practicing medicine
without a license.
They would chop off dead chickens' heads and put them in the, and said, that's you if you don't shut down the meeting. So a lot of this was coming from even, you know, the city council, but in particular, the police chief. His wife was in a wheelchair. She had contracted polio. Mm-hmm. It left her crippled. My granddad was preaching one night. He knew all this was going on. Mm-hmm. Mm. He was preaching one night, and to hear him tell it, I never heard him. He died in the 40s, but it's in the book. He said, I found myself saying, and that's a key right there. He said, I didn't plan on saying it. I was in the middle of a sermon. I found myself saying, called the woman's name. Everybody knows her. She's the police chief's wife. She's famous for a lot of things, including being in the wheelchair. And called her name and said, if she'll come to the meeting tomorrow night, God will heal her and raise her up out of the wheelchair. And if God doesn't do it, I'll set this Brush Arbor on fire, put my Bible on top of the fire, walk away and never preach again. Now And when he did, now this is what my grandparents said. His wife stood up and said, my God, James, take that back right now. because scared, they got 13 kids. You know, it's all over. It's all going up in smoke. Here's the end of the story. The woman came the next night. She didn't come expecting to get healed. Mm. They don't believe any.
Everybody came to see the place go on fire, didn't they?
They think he's a fake. They think he's a fraud.
Wow.
None of them are born again. She did not come to get healed. She came to discredit him and to watch him. Will he follow through on his threat to burn the Brush Arbor?
Well, you better know you know, don't you?
That's right.
Doc Horton used to tell the story.
Yeah.
Granddad's preaching a message. She's there. She's not in the back of the Brush Arbor. They wheeled her down front. He's preaching. Now, my grandpa, which would be his son, of course, heard him tell it. And he's preaching the message. And he's preaching the message thinking, God, you got me in this and you better get me out of it. Because he found himself saying, I don't know whether you call that special faith or what. I don't know whether he prophesied. I don't know that part of it. So he's preaching a message again. Now, I don't know how good his
verbiage. That's a showdown, Gene.
It is.
Go ahead.
I don't know how good his verbiage was as far as, is that the gift of faith? Is that the working of miracles? Is it a combination of several things? I don't know the answer
to
that.
He just did what he knew to do.
He was in the middle of the message, and he said suddenly he knew, now go and lift her out of the wheelchair and command her. Don't wait for her to be healed. Pick her up out of the wheelchair. He was in the middle of preaching the message. He went down. He lifted her up out of the wheelchair. She wasn't, you know, it wasn't faith in his sermon. She wasn't saying, I believe I receive right now. I think I'll go ahead and take it. She was there the whole time to mock him. Power of God comes
like
on her.
Paul, persecution.
He goes down. I don't know if he actually physically could lift her up, but he put his hands on her. Best I can remember from the book, commanded her to be healed in the name of Jesus. The power of God came on and lifted her body up out of the wheelchair. She was suspended in midair. She still doesn't want to be healed. She reached back for the wheelchair because she doesn't want people to see that she's so healed. So Granddad took the wheelchair and jerked it out from under her and ran it down the aisle. She chased the wheelchair that she said she couldn't be healed out of.
Come on.
And that's the meeting that 17 churches started out of that. And here's the best part.
Wow.
They became his lifelong friends.
How about that? Praise God.
Got born again. Turned the whole
thing. Well, yeah, of course you
would. One miracle.
It just takes one, doesn't it?
Just took one. And that's a little bit unusual. But I like it.
There's that. Some people wonder, is there a formula to this? You know, because there's different styles. You mentioned Catherine Kuhlman.
You know, a formula, if it was just him, he would have done it in all of his meetings.
Sure.
So he could have planted more churches.
I want to play a clip right now. We're going back now a little bit. And I want to show you a lady that was healed of stammering tongue, praying at a tent revival in Spokane, Washington. It's Oral Roberts. Watch this.
Gotta get him going, Bob. Hello, Miss Lane.
Hello.
You've stuttered and stammered practically all your life. You're 32 years old now, member of the Church of God in Bozeman. Right?
Bozeman,
Montana. Oh, God, heal her stuttering tongue tonight. Loose her and set her free from it and let her go free in your name. Turn around from me. We'll see what... Say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
I will talk.
Without stuttering.
Without stuttering. In Christ's name.
In Christ's name.
The rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
I will be free.
I will be free.
Because I believe.
Because I believe.
Now turn around to me. Say, I love you with all my heart.
I love you with all my heart.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Say it again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Look up here and say it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Are you free?
Yes, I'm free.
Take it home with you. People, when God's power is here, it's done.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
So, total different method.
Yeah.
Of prayer. So, it's not in the method, is it?
Never. Never.
But that crowd, they were watching everything. She didn't even realize she wasn't stuttering. She's just going.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And you know, one other, and I'm sure you'll probably get to this, so I'll jump ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I love it when you have three preachers and three
So the thing that, you know, tomorrow you're going to have Pastor George in the morning
yes.
teach, and then Billy Burke at night. That's now that is a formula that goes back,
yeah.
and there's a reason for that. I mean, you know, I've talked about before on this program, Gordon Lindsay did the teaching for William Branham, who came at night.
Right.
But that goes, yeah. same thing with Oral Roberts.
It in camp meetings.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of,
yeah, it was always teaching in the morning.
And miracles at night.
And Dad Hagen did the same thing.
Because, and why? Why did they do that?
The Lord went where, they went forth everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following.
That's right.
So there's a biblical.
Confirming the word.
Confirming the
and
word.
And what happens when the devil, I mean, when there's a great healing, the first thing that happens, the enemy tries to come and take it away, right? Yeah. Yeah. That's why you got to have the teaching to stand on, to know God didn't make you sick. He didn't put you in that wheelchair. He didn't do all that. You've got to have that word. So if there's a formula, I wouldn't really call it that, but that's biblical sound.
The word and the spirit have to agree. Is what you're saying.
And that's what Brother Hagin said about the last days.
He sure did.
Wait, Greg, what you is heard it? This.
I heard it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. What's God doing in the last days? I heard him say it so many times. When did he leave? 2003?
Yes.
2003.
But I was in a lot of his meetings in the 90s, cousin Mark and Janet Brzee, and we're very close to him. I can still hear his voice. What's God doing in these last and final days? He's building strong local churches that know the flow of the Spirit.
Local churches.
It's not just the word. And it was local churches.
He did say that. I forgot
he
that.
He emphasized local
he
churches.
He did say
and
that.
And he emphasized the move of God in the local church, and he emphasized the word and the spirit and the move of God in the local
David,
church.
David, I
much
forgot
more so
that.
Than crusades.
I forgot
I think
that.
It's the day of the local church, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, there's no way, you know, you can have a wonderful miracle ministry, and there's no way you're going to reach
and we're not
the
putting
world.
Down crusades
no,
because they met. The inspiration verse for this program is daily in the temple and house to house. Actually, 246, I
right,
think it is.
Right.
And that's why this is home group. This is house yeah. Bible study.
Yeah.
But as they went out, they held meetings. Paul had outside things and
sure.
all that. But it was a local congregation and all that was birthing that. And they would pray and suddenly the place would be shaken.
The local church, because harvest is not harvest until it's brought into the barn.
Okay.
And that's Mark Brzee. He said, if it's just left out in the field, you know, we call them field ministry, evangelistic ministry.
They work together.
They work together.
That's good.
But the harvest has to be brought in from the field, which is an evangelistic ministry,
right.
into the barn where they are made from a convert to a disciple, where they can grow up and learn. That's the local church.
That's good.
Yeah. It's really good.
He didn't say
okay,
that.
So I've got one question here directed at you. Roxy, here's your question. Artie, I'll get to yours in a minute. Roxy says, had David tell us what he was thinking when Joan came up to the piano?
I was like, okay, I don't know what I was thinking. I
really?
Was like, I hope she's healed. If I'm being honest, I was like, well, I hope she's in the same key.
Yeah.
And I hope there's a sudden manifestation, you know. But the truth is I was still like on cloud nine because of what just took place, you know, seeing that.
So today you had an interview here at the ministry with Billy Burke, and you talked to him. Why don't you set this up and then go ahead and pitch it to that? I want to see what Billy said to you today.
Well, there's, you know, I don't know exactly, remember exactly which clip it is, but I mean, we started talking about the revival capital of the world, and we started talking about what's going to happen and where do you see healing today? And is there a difference between last year and this year? And what is it that you're seeing about healing in the church today?
Well, he mentions in this clip, he mentions something called turn down the noise.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's good.
Watch this.
People can't spend time alone. They got to have noise. They got to have video.
Sure. That's true.
They got to, their face has to be in the phone. They can't be alone. Sounds of silence, to coin an old song, is frightening for most people because you run right into God talking to you. When you turn people down, God's turned up.
Mm.
He's a small voice, not a loud voice.
Right.
He won't compete with that stuff. Want to hear God? Turn that down. God's volume will go up and you'll hear him. And that's frightening to a lot of people. And so that's why people are busy, 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 earphones. And I have earphones. When I'm on a plane, I'll watch some things. But never at this stage of my life, I depend too much on him for the that I stand in front of people, I don't know what to do.
Right.
So I have to hear to help people. Mm-hmm. So I can't not need him.
Yes.
And I think sometimes when you become, you know, someone who knows something so well, whether it's singing, preaching, playing a sport, playing a piano, it gets to a point where I'm anointed. I don't need him. I know how to do this. And I remember Catherine. This was one time that was so precious. She was walking out of the back of the Presbyterian church where she walked through these two big doors, gigantic wood doors. And she put her hand on the doorknob and she said, she was on her way to do the meeting, walking into the meeting. We were in the back room. And she said, "Dear Jesus, please use me again today. Please use." And I thought to myself, come on, you're Catherine Coleman. What do you got to do that for? You're anointed. You just came out of an anointed meeting.
Right.
Why would you have to say, "Please use me again"? I didn't understand that. I didn't know the sheer dependency of not growing independent of him.
Wow. That's good. That's fresh.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's sneak preview.
A sneak preview of what's to come on Revival Radio. Several questions here. Let's see here. If you get healed, do you have to do something in the natural to keep it? Well, I'll start this way. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us, that immediately Satan will come to try to steal the word.
And that's what I was saying. That's why you got to have the word in you.
That's that teaching.
That's why the teachings in the morning is for you to get that in you before you have that, so that you have that to go back on.
Mm-hmm. And so the next 2 days, Pastor George is teaching tomorrow morning, and then Pastor Terry will be teaching Friday morning, and then Billy Burke will be in the evenings. So the information for that is right there on the screen for you. We don't want you to miss that. The teaching is vitally important based on what Jesus told us.
Well, and I believe also, Pastor Greg here, he's going to, I know Pastor George said there'll be prayer for the sick in the morning as well. So, I mean, if you can only get to the morning, you can come.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, a couple others. Sometimes I think these things, this is Diane, these things come out of the relationship the minister has with God, and those that know her, their God, shall do exploits. Thoughts about that?
Well, I think, let me answer.
Different people have different anointings.
Yes, and I think it was Catherine Kuhlman that said, and I won't try and imitate her voice, but God's not looking for perfect vessels. He's looking for willing vessels. Mm. The story you just told about your great-grandfather, the quote was, he said it, what'd you say, without thinking, it came out before he knew it.
He said, "I found myself."
Found there. Myself saying
it. He didn't plan to say it.
Yeah, but that was faith.
He may have been thinking about it, but he did it on purpose.
Yeah. Thinking,
I'm going to go up there and I'm going to just make this challenge. He may have thought about it, but my great granddad was a very mild mannered man. He was not a fire.
So this was not his personality.
He was a school principal and then became a Methodist preacher and got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how all this started.
Yeah.
He was not a fiery preacher. He wrote not sermon notes. He wrote manuscripts. Mm. He would read his messages. So that's why it was a shock to him. He found himself
saying,
because he wrote whole manuscripts. He was not a fiery preacher. Now, my dad was more fiery, but his granddad, my great granddad, would read his sermons. That's why it was shocking to him.
Yeah.
But that's the way the Great Awakening was. They always wrote their sermons.
Yeah,
you know more about that than I do. I never heard that before.
Yeah, they did. They all wrote them. They publish them. And that's why we have them today. It was like a little mini book.
But here's the thing, you got to be willing. And I think, that's kind of a difficult question to answer. There's many facets to that. Yes, the minister has a relationship with God and he's got to be open and he's got to be receptive. And there has to be a point where you can disengage the natural to embrace the supernatural. Mm. That has to happen. And if you can't do that, you're trying to manipulate or you've moved. It's real easy at that point to get over into works. Yeah. And now you're trying to make something happen.
Well, there you go.
And we know how much that can
That will work. Kill a revival.
Yep.
And I can show you that in Acts chapter 14. Here we go. I want to show you a clip real quick from Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's talking about being willing. Uh-huh. And she said, God is not the healer and is also the one that will make you sick. He can't be both. Watch this clip from Pastor Terry.
God was the healer and also the one that's going to make you sick, then we would have seen that with Jesus. But oh, the confusion that would have brought. And he is not the author of confusion or the author of strife. So God was with him. Love was with him. Now the leper said to Jesus, you know, I know you can heal if you will. And we read in the English and it says, well, I will. Well, that's wonderful. But we see that in our language and in our thinking, our Western thinking, we say, well, yeah, he was willing. But the Greek has an underlying emphasis in it that we don't see just by reading it. Because we read that with this secondary thought that, well, this time he will. Well, for you he will. But I don't know if he will for me. I don't know if he will for that guy. But the underlying emphasis in the Greek is, of course I will, because I can't do anything but that. Of course I am willing. Now look at that. I am. Let's change it this way to help us with the picture. Of course, because I am the willing one. I like that. I am who is the willing one. That really cuts down a lot of doubt that the devil tries to push our way.
He is the one. Now, tomorrow night, the next morning, the next night, people that are coming or people that are going to watch this on television, listen, I encourage you. If you can't get here, I get that. But if you're going to watch it, man, invite people over. Have a little group. Let me know. Send it in on the email address at homegroup at Go Victory. Let people know. Let me know that you got a group watching with you. I want to know that and where you're watching from. You know, you invited people over. I'm just sensing little healing parties all over the country.
Yeah.
All the way around the world.
Why not?
They did it in the book of Acts. Place was shaken where they were gathered. Why not have some shakenings in Lexington, Kentucky?
Yeah. You talked to Brother Hagin. We both did just a moment ago. Again, Brother Hagin said, in the last days, you know, in the move of God, miracles and manifestations of the Spirit of God. But he was specifically talking about miracles, that the believer will work miracles as easy as a bird flies through the air and a fish swims in the sea. As easy and as natural as the breath you breathe. Mm. I did not have to think about taking the last 10 breaths. I did it without thinking. He said the believers will work miracles that naturally.
Yeah,
and I don't have to.
I can believe it can be in your house as well. So I encourage you to do that. Okay, how do we get ready for tomorrow? How do the people prepare themselves? you guys were in big meetings.
Yeah. Well, you played that.
You talked about the atmosphere.
Clip from Billy Burke. I want to tell you something that he didn't talk about it today in our recording session. But earlier, he tells the story of when he was 9 years old and he had the tumors and he was cancer and was basically destined for death. And he wasn't getting better. But at his grandmother's house for a week, I think he said it was a week leading up to the meeting with Catherine Kuhlman, his grandmother would say, now, Billy, when Catherine touches you, you're going to be healed. And she'd go, yeah, Grandma.
She told him.
She kept saying, but now, Billy, when Catherine touches you, you're going to get healed. You're going to feel the power of God and you're going to be healed. Mm. She planted that word every day, several times a day, I think, in him. When she touches you, you're going to be healed. So what happens? Little Billy, 9 years old, finally gets down and he's on the platform. And when she touched him, he was healed. So that is you're preparing in faith. Now, don't go off watching horror flicks and filling your mind with stuff you shouldn't be filling your mind with. Obviously, you got to be able to step into that atmosphere. And you know, this leads right into what you're going to say, David. I mean, I there is an atmosphere for healing. There is an atmosphere in praise and worship does that.
Can you sense, guys, in a service, the anointing, we can go now? Now's
yes,
the time?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
And can you miss that moment?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Can you get it back?
No, not always. Per my experience, maybe somebody else has a different experience, but I do know this. There are times that you'll sense, even in a place of worship, and to have really clear articulation on it, I don't have that. I just know when there's a weight, a glory to it, a heaviness to it, that yes, it's His presence that's in us and on us and then elevates in a place of corporate worship. There's this little shift there, and I don't know if it's just the inward witness. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the voice of the Lord, but the inward witness, you just somehow sense that move just from the anointing that manifests when people worship God into a realm of healing. I just think it's the inward witness. I might be wrong on that, but you know when He's there.
Benny Hinn wouldn't go out till the anointing was there, so he's ready, right?
Well, yeah, and he would sing and praise and worship until, I mean, however long it took, he wasn't in a hurry. He wasn't going to be in a hurry.
Oh my gosh.
Under pressure.
I was not 21 years old. I thought our Pentecostal services were long. Yeah, no. My God, I'd sit on the piano bench for like, thank God I was young.
And you started playing in your first meetings. How old were you?
Authentically playing in that kind of meeting, maybe 13.
So there was a question here, a text question, about how you became a psalmist. What qualified you? Was there a shift in anointing from
qualified
when you were 13 to now being able to flow the way you flow?
Honestly, people ask stuff like, I don't know. You know, qualified, I did everything in the world to be disqualified. Mm. So it has nothing to do with me. I think those gifts and callings and anointings are decided about you before you're born. The only thing you can do is be obedient and walk in it to the best of your ability. But where's the camera? Yeah. If it's up to you individually,
it ain't.
And it's the grace of God. Mm. And I know something about that. Mm-hmm. I know a lot about it. Yeah.
And being obedient to do what He called you to do.
Yeah, just being obedient. I did have, as a kid and teenagers, I loved the presence of God. Mm-hmm. I loved
the power. You kind of get addicted to it, don't you?
And you kind of get hungry
addictive.
For it. It's yeah, you want, it's like the more you get, the more you want. And right. I did, there was a hunger there. But I am a normal kid.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it wasn't my good works, I'll tell you that.
Right. So people would be surprised to know that Brother Hagin, you know, would watch Western movies at home or whatever.
They thought, play pinball machine.
They thought he'd just float around in clouds all the time. But. Yeah. But no, he's a regular person. But the anointing, he knew how to cooperate with the anointing that was on him. So just like you guys were talking about, bring your supply tomorrow night. Be in faith. Be ready. Have your, even at home, be ready. Get in an environment that you're ready to hear, ready to receive. Hook your faith up. When this man starts playing in praise and worship, can you sense when we hook up with you?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're very anointed teacher and preacher, then I'll ask you this. Can you sense when the people are receiving from you?
Yeah.
Yeah. The difference in maybe a musician, a singer, someone that's put in the place of leading worship, you know, sometimes we have to be the wrecking ball to be the slap in the face. Come on, let's get it. Yeah. So that's why we hit it with a lot of firepower to wake everybody out and, you know, gather them.
Right.
And kind of corral. But but in a meeting like this, man, people come ready.
Yeah.
They're already.
Okay, so before we get going too far here, I want to give if you want somebody to pray with you tonight, I'm going to put the prayer line number up on the screen for you. And it's 877-281-6297. There are trained, licensed ministers right now that will pray and minister to you. You don't have to wait. You can get somebody to be in agreement. Listen, they're not going to pray silly stuff either. They're going to pray the word over you, all right? So they're available to you right now. Guys, we just got a minute and a half or so. You guys got anything you want to pray for people or share or minister, say you'd like to say before we get into
tomorrow? You know, you said something, or one of you, both of you did, about what can I do to prepare? You know, is there, of course, expectation has something to do with it. And like you said, Billy's grandmother said, you know, when Catherine lays her hands on you, you're going to be healed.
And she didn't know that would happen in the natural.
Yeah, I think Absolutely. There's a point of contact. There was with the woman with the issue of blood. And when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made. You know, and I wholeheartedly, I would say this. I think something happens to your soul and your mind when you get over in the presence of God. Why wait till the service starts? Why don't you just start worshiping God now as an act of faith? Why don't you just like turn on some worship music? Just elevate above looking at the sickness, but just look at Him. Get over into His presence and kind of calibrate your heart in that direction. That's what I would recommend.
Love it. Guys, thank you so much. God heals you because He loves you. Yeah. When hands are laid on you, healing always comes. Know this, that the healing power of God is at work in your body right now. And if you'll magnify His love toward you, faith is going to rise up in you because faith works by love. And sometimes healing happens as you go. Don't give up on your faith. Even if you don't see it manifest immediately, remember the healing power of God is with you in your body, affecting a healing and a cure. Know this, God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord. But listen, tomorrow morning it begins. What time? 10 a.m. Central with Pastor George. You don't want to miss it. See you then.